I am the ultimate. I am majesty. Crypto decentralized. I am currency. I am the Tesla for electricity. I am a mobile arm. Mining frequency. I am the whole.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Ensued Instrument. It's your host, Nine. And today I have my dear friend, Mr. Heart Deer. Oh my goodness. Hey, Heart.
Hey.
How you doing? Doing good.
I'm doing adequate. How you doing?
adequate. Yes. I think a lot of us are doing adequate. So tell me. How's life been? Last time, actually, no, we saw each other at my wedding. But the last time before the last time that we saw each other was actually like 3 days before the lockdowns happened.
Yes.
And how crazy and how different the world has come.
Yeah, it's been really crazy, you know, because it's like we had all these shutdowns and you have to keep all the social distance, you know. So like I wanted to take a lady out for Valentine's Day because, you know, it's a special day. And, you know, it's like we turned on our video chat and, you know, I made a steak and I tried to push it through the camera and just ended up getting the lens greasy. That's kind of embarrassing. And then, you know, like, but the date went really well. So at the end of it, we tried to like cuddle up and watch a movie. So I tried to just, you know, take the laptop and kind of cuddle to it with the webcam. It's just not the same.
I could actually imagine you doing all of those things too. But it's very interesting because that is actually how me and my wife got to know each other. It was a lot of texting and Zoom. We had a dance party. Oh, yeah. Through Zoom. Actually, there's a guy on YouTube. What's his name? It's like David something. But he's got this show, Spiritual Dance Music. So I was like, I had that in the background on YouTube. And you know how I have the studio monitor. So it was just like I turned it up, had that going. And I had like some lights. Like what's going on behind me. I know the people who's listening can't see, but I always have like some lights, like just kind of twinkling around. Had a virtual dance party. And then we also like had like movie date nights through Zoom, which was cool. My first time ever doing that. But if I gave people ideas, have at them. It went well. Life has been different for all of us, especially musicians. I know meeting you when I first met you, it was at a festival. We were both performing. That was actually my very first festival performing my own music. And you were actually one of the first people I talked to. You recorded it. You took my phone while I was performing and you recorded it. And so that's actually how we met. And it's so interesting to see the difference. We would have never met if we waited, you know, because there's not many festivals going on right now.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like I have Heartfest every evening, you know, but it's like me sitting in front of my TV and like listening to music on YouTube, but like I get out my lighter and I wave it back and forth, and you know, like sometimes I get too drunk and I throw up on the carpet. I mean, not because I want to, but because it gives it that feeling of authenticity.
Yeah. Does the security ever kick you out?
Oh yeah, it's terrible. Like, yeah, I was locked out of my own home for 2 days after the last one.
I can imagine.
And I couldn't ask for help because of social distancing, so I had to scrounge for acorns in the forest with the squirrels. I think I became the alpha, though. I am now the lord of the squirrels.
I'm putting that. Go,
and my dark army comes running.
You know what? I'm scared of you now because I don't want to get attacked by a squirrel. I like that. I don't know why, but I just those little teeth seem very, very sharp.
Well, and here's a pro tip. If all you have to make an army with at home are squirrels, they get a lot more fierce if you tie a sparkler to their tails. So those little 4th of July sparklers. And...
That's so mean.
I don't know. They look like they're having fun. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell because a squirrel really only has one facial expression. You know, it's kind of like where you like put your lips together and kind of stick your front teeth out. But, you know, it's... But I think they enjoy it.
Oh, my goodness. So what are some things that you've been doing in the music front during this time period?
Well, yeah, what I really have been doing is getting a lot back into the studio and trying to get some studio projects that had gone to the back burner back onto the front burner, and you know, recording with you, the great Artist Nine, and with both of my bands, and yeah. Been trying to make some plans also, because I feel like we're not going to have the pause button on for too much longer. So, you know, we got to prepare right now, and just been preparing to like make some music videos and do some good things with booking and try to get on some festival circuits, you know, try to lay all the groundwork now. And then when it gets back to normal, it's like, aha, I did not sleep. I prepared.
Yes, yes. I've been doing the same. Well, you know, we've worked together on many things. But that's kind of been the whole consensus of this is like, okay, this is a great time to prepare. But the universe gives you what you prepare for, right? So getting business things in order, getting my brand in order, you know, going nomading for almost 2 years and then coming back, I have a lot to like rebuild, like my look, social media presence, all that good stuff. And this has been the perfect time to do it, as well as we just had a fire session where we were, you know, recording a remix to your first single, Pie of Happiness, and yeah. You know, doing it through Zoom, where you're in Atlanta, I'm in California. And we're just passing, you know, tracks back together, back and forth. You get to record yours, I'm recording mine, and it's almost like you're on the other side of the window in the studio. Only it's a computer, and you're That's really right. all the way across the country.
I was just recording for one moment because I'm going to turn off my heater because I hear it's making a lot of background noise. And I'm going to grab a glass of wine because your hair color makes me want wine ferociously. For those of you at home, Allison has wine-colored hair, and it's amazing. I'll be right back.
You got some wine, too.
Yes, this is an alcohol-free wine. The brand is FRE. I got it for a friend of mine who does not tolerate alcohol digestively. But she was afraid of it because it still looked too much like regular wine. So got to put it to good use. Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, but kids, don't do this at home. Winners don't drink wine.
What? Winners drink so much wine.
Oh, do they?
I love wine and I win. All I do is win with my wine.
When and yeah, you can't spell wine without win.
Exactly. Exactly. Bottoms up.
Bottoms up. Yeah, this is a little strange, but it's not bad.
I was going to ask, what does that taste like? The alcohol-free wine, what does that taste like?
Well, this is a white Zinfandel, and it's... It's not bad. It's got a lot of fruit. Surprisingly little sugar. A little sugar, but more fruit. And very, very little tannic acid. So it's sort of a round flavor. Actually, seems like it would be pretty good with the alcohol in there. So maybe I should just take like a shot of Golden Grain and dump it in there. Nah.
You could put the grain alcohol in there.
You know, when I was a certain age, which I just realized I should not say, but
Why not?
Because of I have to take the fifth, but my friends and I decided that, you know, we were going to celebrate my birthday, and we wanted champagne, but we didn't have champagne. But a friend of mine had gotten a bottle of vodka on the black market. So then we went to the grocery store and we got a bag of sugar and some seltzer water and some white grape juice. And we figure we add that together with the vodka and, you know, we'll have a pretty good champagne there. Let me tell you right now, we were wrong. We were so wrong.
That sounds, please explain in detail what this tasted like. I am just imagining right now, and what I imagine is not great.
Well, the sugar goes well with the sparkling grape juice, so that just makes it sweeter. But the seltzer, the vodka, and the sweetened grape juice manage to remain distinct. They don't actually mix together into anything. So you end up tasting vodka and grape juice and seltzer independently of each other at the same time.
I'm so confused.
It is very confusing.
So basically, I have channeled the effect of the drink that you made. It is called confusion.
Yes, it is. It is. Yet another one. And this one, I was 23, so it's all kosher. But there's a drink you can make called a purple cow. And that is grape juice and ice cream. And then there's one called a purple Jesus, which is grape juice and vodka. So we wanted to make a purple Jesus cow, which is grape juice, vanilla ice cream, and vodka. Bring the purple Jesus and the purple cow together. But it turns out that the alcohol curdles the ice cream instantly, so you end up drinking something that's kind of like grape-flavored cottage cheese. And this is the interesting thing. Every single person who had it had terrible, horrible nightmares that night. It's like a guaranteed nightmare cocktail. So if you like horror movies, you know, if you like, you know, Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, and you just say, man, I wish I could be in one of those. Well, that's how you do it. You can have that experience.
We need to name that drink. Nightmare.
Purple Jesus Cow. Yeah.
Maybe you have a nightmare since it was so blasphemous. Well,
just think of a purple cow, you know, like a cow with nice purple fur, nailed to a cross and dying for you. Oh yeah, no wonder it causes nightmares.
Maybe. So you know you're never going to be my bartender, right?
You know, I think I understand Chick-fil-A's point now.
The cows, oh, really?
With the cows that say eat more chicken.
Uh-huh.
Because really, like, every hamburger is a cow giving its life for you.
Oh, my goodness. You really brought it around full circle, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
It really makes you think about your burger now. Mm-hmm. You know when I say bless your food? No, your food is blessing you.
Yeah, yeah.
Very all right. True. All right. That's hilarious. So what music are you listening to right now? Like, who are some of the artists that you listen to?
Yeah, you know, I'm always listening between different time periods and genres. And very rarely am I listening to anything remotely modern. But like, you know, recently, I think because of some of the hip hop we've been recording, I have been listening back through good old Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five and, you know, Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh and that kind of like old original early hip hop, you know, DJ Kool, Afrika Bambaataa, that kind of thing. And then again, on the other hand, I've been listening to a lot of Bach.
Yes. You could have an African bambok.
Africa buck bambok?
Yes, that right there. That would be amazing. And that's kind of like what I do. I'm like, I like to listen to like a lot of cello and classical music. And then we can get into some like hip hop. I love African bambok too. Busta Rhymes. I know we talked about Busta Rhymes before. And then I remember sending you over, some of my favorite rappers that I grew up with, Lauryn Hill is not really I grew up with. I was kind of grown. I guess I'm aging myself also. and then Tribe Called Quest. That was when I was young. Listened to a lot of Tribe Called Quest, stuff like that. And being able to go between the two of, some classical to some hip hop is, I actually see lots of similarities in both music. It kind of does similar things in my brain, which very cool, very helps me. Like when I'm doing something that I really don't want to do, listening to anything classical or like the old school hip hop, I can actually just fly through doing it because it's like it almost like organizes my brain for me.
You know what does that for me? And I don't know why, because I don't normally listen to a lot of death metal, but man, when I need to like plow through something, like just the angriest death metal I can find, cookie, me want cookie,
Elmo's in a death metal band? Cookie Monster.
Yeah, they call those Cookie Monster vocals.
I never knew that. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, I listened.
Guess what, Art? Mm-hmm. I just got a notification. I have to, let's see. I got to mine pie. My pie mining just stopped. Nope. Yep, I'm clicking it right now. Boom! Mine.
Yes.
We just started making more money.
You're not turned on to it yet. Pi is the latest thing in cryptocurrency. It's a project by a bunch of Stanford graduates, and they're trying to see if they can get a cryptocurrency to have value on the market just from social connections, just from your social networking connections. You mine it purely on the basis of who you put into your circle, and it's free. Excuse me. That was horrible. It's free to use, free to set up, free to use, free to mine. You just go on there, find your friends who are using it, and then once a day you tap the mine button, and that's it. So will they bring it to market? Will it have value? They're hoping. But if it does, it will be a very dissident thing. It's a rebel currency.
Definitely, because it's very user-centric. It actually I like it because it goes off of the basis of what currency is for anyway, because everyone knows the dollar bill is not really worth anything. The dollar bill is a representation of your energy. And so what Pi is actually doing, and it is going straight to, okay, well, as long as we have a certain amount of people who believe in this and mine it every day, because all currency is a concept, then just being user-centric, it can be worth something. And right now they have over, I think the last announcement was they had like over 13 million people mining. So it's like one of the largest cryptocurrency communities out there right now. And the other thing is it levels the playing field because like I've been able to invite, look, I got messages. I've been able to invite people, who have a bunch of money and they're mining, and then I'm able to invite like people over in Nigeria who, they would not have been able to buy in on a cryptocurrency, but they have the exact same mining power, and so it kind of levels the playing field, and I really like that. I think that's what currency should do. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. they do a lot of workshops explaining cryptocurrency to the average person to make it easy for people to understand what the blockchain is and all that stuff. And so I'm just excited to see, as it all unfolds, how this thing goes.
Yeah, the egalitarian nature of the mining is an interesting facet because, you know, as we move forward in technology and civilization, you know, we are rapidly approaching a point where practically all of the economic activities that nobody really wants to do are going to be automated, like all of them. Anything you don't want to do, bots can do it very soon. And in that kind of a world, you know, when you ask like what property is or what somebody's claim on the services of the automated economy are, it almost becomes less than human if you don't have some sort of like a basic sovereign right to the products of an automated economy. So by getting a currency basis, which is egalitarian and is based purely on connections in your own circle, and just saying like, okay, within this circle, we all recognize each other, and that recognition grants us some basis of value for exchange. You know, it really becomes it could be something like the currency, which is a universal human claim. You know, so it's like you might have other currencies which represent enterprise and wealth and claims on resources and services beyond even what an automated economy could provide. But we need some way that the old economy is not set up to deal with, just to recognize that once humanity is capable of just setting up automated systems that take care of us, it comes with it really a moral duty to take care of people, at least at a certain level. You know, like we should not have people unable to get to food. We should not have people unable to have shelter and so forth when you can just send bots out and build a perfectly nice living accommodation. You know, it's just not. So I think of it in those terms, you know, like this cryptocurrency may be ahead of its time, but then again, it might be right on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's pretty on time. I think if, especially what we're seeing with Bitcoin, where, you know, we're seeing that rise and, I don't know. I still have, for some reason, I have like these reservations about Bitcoin. I'm just seeing certain things, but one thing I do love about Bitcoin is that it opened the door for all the other cryptocurrencies. And it is bringing a lot of awareness, and getting people to change their lifestyle, getting people to have a crypto wallet. And I think that is perfect. It's like a perfect gateway for something like Pi, because, you know, Pi by itself, if it didn't have a gateway of other people that already understand cryptocurrency and understand a wallet, people wouldn't get it at all. But I see like Bitcoin was like a cool big brother that like beat up all the bullies so that the true currencies can come through. And I'm not saying that's Pi. But I think something that levels the playing field, that is user centric, is really needed. And so, yeah, I like Bitcoin for that. I like that. And I'm really loving Pi. I love how easy it is, and how you can like just remind people in your circle to mine when it's their turn to mine, just by pressing one button, and it'll send them a message. Hey, Pasha wants you to mine. Heart wants you to mine. Allison wants you to not mine. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I really love that. It's like, I don't know. I haven't seen anything else like that, which I'm not saying there isn't anything. There's so many cryptocurrencies out right now. I'm sure there might be something else that's doing the same thing. This is just the one that has come to me.
Well, and I think what's really valuable about it is it's an experiment that tests how something that's grassroots might take off to create its own currency and eventually become viable. You know, it's not even so much about Pi itself. It's the methodology behind it. So that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, I agree with you about Bitcoin. It's interesting, you know, that Tesla is now accepting Bitcoins as payment for Tesla vehicles. You know, that's a big step towards legitimizing cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. I always do worry, though, that the powers that be have way too much of a chokehold. Because there was that time when you had the huge Bitcoin exchange, Mt. Gox, and it had that whole server that had all those people's wallets in it. And, you know, the U.S. government just raided it. It was offshore, but they just raided it and they took all of those. And then, you know, that whole block of Bitcoin is gone. And I feel like what's happening now with Bitcoin is there's sort of an implied devil's bargain where Bitcoin has to kind of flow with the system, has to work with the system, has to play ball, can't shake things up too much. And as long as it does, it will be allowed to persist. But as soon as it tries to do something that's really challenging, I have a feeling that it can be taken away very quickly. Now you have something like Pi that builds from the ground up. It could represent fundamentally as a medium of exchange. It only has to be recognized by enough people in order to have value. So once enough Pi coins have been mined, if there are just enough people using Pi, we can barter between ourselves using Pi as our medium of exchange and set up a microeconomy, even if Pi never makes it onto the major cryptocurrency exchanges. That in and of itself could be valuable, but of course there would be a big push to shut that down because, as you well know, legal tender laws make barter illegal unless you pay tax on the bartered goods and services just as if you sold them for dollars, and then your taxes are due in dollars. So as soon as the government feels like there's some tax revenue that it's missing out on because people have set up a side economy, that's going to get cracked down on. So that's another obstacle that Pi could face, and why I think it's smart that what they're actively pursuing is getting listed on these currency exchanges, cryptocurrency exchanges. So we'll have to see. But again, I think like it's free as in beer to participate in it. And it's the kind of thing we need to be experimenting with.
Yes, I totally agree with everything that you just said. But hey, we will see. We are in such a time of transition right now with schooling, kids at school. Now they're at home and they're virtual learning. I think there's some kids that are going back, but like for like a test trial or whatever, but majority of people are, you know, they're virtual learning. And then now there's so many people that are working from home now that, you know, they never thought their job would be working from home. But guess what? Everything's changed. And now, you know, with working from home, people are learning so much more about cryptocurrencies and things like that. It's just so much change happening all at once. It's almost like a blur, you know, it's like, am I really here? Is this all really happening right now? All at the same time. And it's just it's an amazing and interesting and adventurous time to be alive. And I know that this time period is going to be in the history books as the start of something. And I don't know, it's pretty cool to be living history right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, there's an ancient Chinese curse which goes, "May you live in interesting times." You know, and
is that a curse?
Well, that's the interesting thing. To the Chinese mind, it is. But you know, is it really a curse? Because what we suffer from is disruption, extra obstacles and difficulties to getting by, loneliness and isolation in this particular time. But what we have is that a lot of the old ways that were established because they're taken for granted now have to be challenged because they're not functioning. So there's an opportunity there to try doing some things a new way. You know, I mean, you always have, for instance, in the arts, you always have the obstacle. If you're an artist and what you really have is an original message, you always have the challenge that whatever is established and whatever is familiar to the industry propagates because the industry knows, okay, here's the people who want this and they expect this. So we deliver this and, you know, we're good. And there's not much incentive to go into the jungle and, you know, search the wild for treasures when like you have a crank you can turn and just produce money. So, you know, but that also with the shutdown, because the industry, I say this as a member of the industry, we failed so far to produce innovative products that end consumers would want to buy. You know, music products, like MP3 downloads, you know, these are very outdated in terms of having real tangible value. You know, meanwhile, you know, video games and video products like Blu-ray and so forth have continued to innovate and improve and take advantage of the highest levels of technology and produce things that you can't just that don't seem cheap and shoddy in the digital world we live in. So as a result, music has relied more and more on income from live shows and events and licensing and royalties, and less from actually selling music to an end consumer. But then COVID comes along and shuts everything down and tours get canceled and all of that doesn't work. And, you know, what can you do in that environment? Well, you can put some stuff up online. You can promote that. You can, you know, and that's all well and good, but it's not enough to satisfy the appetite of a whole industry. So, you know, while it's frustrating to us, it also gives us permission to experiment and try some new things, you know, go outside the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely is a time of experimentation. Like, test, you know, I come from, first music background, and then I put a pause on my music and learn marketing. You know, one of the first rules in marketing, at least advertising, is test everything. if you're stuck somewhere, just test stuff until you find the solution, which, you know, that's the definition of doing something down to a science. Mm-hmm. And so, like, right now where we are in the music industry, it's a great time to just test things. I know you and me, we're testing things all the time. I'm networking with other folks that and these tech startups now for musicians that are coming out, that they're testing a bunch of stuff and their stuff is working. And I don't know, it seems like a time where we are going to have a much more advanced and more beneficial music industry in the next couple of years because of all the testing that's going on. I believe that. And I'm excited about seeing it all unfold, but I'm also excited about being a part of it and being a part of the change. So I'm also excited that you are a part of it too, and that we literally met and got to know each other right before all of the big changes happened. And I don't see that as what do they call that? Coincidence, even though coincidence means coincide. So it means, it doesn't mean what most people think it means. but yeah, so I'm excited about that. I'm also excited that you are you decided to be on my podcast, Intune Instrument. I would definitely love to have you to come through more often. Let's talk more about just whatever projects that you're working on, projects we're working on together. We got we went to the Ozarks and did Pie a Happiness music video. We were working on the hip hop version together. We got a dance version. We're constantly working on things, and I would love to have you back on the podcast to share your knowledge and your entertainment and your jokes, because you're awesome. Awesome.
Well, it takes one to know one, but thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I think we have some great stories that we can tell people. And like you mentioned, just the events around shooting the Pie of Happiness music video were so extraordinary and uncanny and profound that it would be very nice to share that with people. You know, we could also talk more about what an artist is and, you know, why artists do what we do and how that should ideally relate to the bigger picture, society and culture and everything. Yeah, we could get into some deep stuff. We could get into some silly stuff. You know, I'm down.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being an InTune instrument and joining the podcast. That is it for this show. We'll see you on the next one.
All right. See you on the next one.
Thank you, thank you, thank you again for tuning into the show. If you're interested in supporting the show, be sure to meander on over to shop.theintuneinstrument.com and check out the merch store. You want my latest single? Well, guess what? You can get it at shop.theintuneinstrument.com. You want to represent that you're an InTune instrument in your city? Shop.theintuneinstrument.com and grab a shirt. You get the message. Go to shop.theintuneinstrument.com and rep.